Good morning, everyone.
Happening. What is happening?
Zoom is going bananas.
Right. One sec. Let's get the questions up. Tell me an interesting fact, Nick.
My nephew saved the penalty that won them the cup yesterday.
Oh, I love that. Was you there?
Yeah, do you want to see a video?
Yeah, I do. That's brilliant. That's made my day, that.
No one else will be able to see, but it was class.
This is the type of chat that I like on a Monday morning about junior football, grassroots football, proper football. Go on, lad. I love that. That is flipping quality. How old are they? Under eight, something like that. I love that. And none of them give a shit about that player who's crying. No.
Ben, hang on.
What a buy.
Trophy winners. Ready?
Wow, is it? I love that. Yes, mate. Now, see, that's it. I live for this shit at the weekend. I love it. Love it. It's everything. I've got two cup finals this weekend. Love it. Saturday, Sunday.
This class didn't go
That's.
one in two very different ways, can't it? That situation,
Oh, mate.
very different ways.
Yeah, nightmare. I've had that with Leighton a few times where he's missed it for us to lose. And then he got grounded for 2 weeks after it. Wow. He's a big lad, isn't he? Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's having some growth spurts now, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure people didn't tune in for this, but I don't care. It's whatever we want. It's our podcast. It's tough shit. If you don't want to listen, sod off. I mean, right. First question.
If a new client signs up but wants to delay starting for a month or so, what would you do in the time before they start to keep them warm?
I would get on a call with them and make sure you've mapped out a bit of a plan in regards to what's happening and when they do start to come in and all of that type of stuff. And then I would kind of seek to understand what it is that they feel like they would need from now until then, just to keep them, have something to work off or have some level of accountability to get them going. So simply, I'd get on a call with them. Obviously, you've already gone through goals. I'd look at the plan and go, right, what support do you? Do you potentially need, and how can I support you over the next few weeks just before you start, just to give you a bit of a leg up? Because they might turn around and go, no, actually, I've got too much on at work, too much on the family. I'm okay. I'm looking forward to starting, and that's fine. And then it'll just be, for me, it'll just be a quick message maybe every week to see how they are, how they're getting on, all of that type of stuff. But more so, I just have a good chat with them, plan, what can we do, and let them come up with it and not you. Anything you'd add?
I'd add in, it should take a deposit. And if they're taking a deposit, I might even give them the first kind of week of onboarding, maybe to set them up so you could start on the front foot. And only other thing I would say is if you have a community going on, get them into that, immerse them a little bit. Apart from that, nah.
Good shouts. Next question. What plans have you got for the future of PTMA? How do you both measure success?
Future plans are we are wanting to attack, I guess is the right word, the entry level of the industry, which has always been our kind of bag, hasn't it, really? Working with Pure Gym. So, yep, that's the initial kind of focus that we're doing at the moment. Impact as many people as we can through the group, well, group slash one-to-one mentorship. How we measure success is effectively how happy our clients are, how they're getting on, how they overcome challenges, how they grow as people, the relationship we have with them, the community, how they support each other, financial return. I think also how we measure success is our boundaries as well. Fluctuates a little bit, but yeah, how we kind of live outside of work. So yeah, I would say they're our measurements of success, and our immediate future of what we're focusing on. Anything I've missed?
No, because the next question kind of covers the same, and I'll go into a little bit more detail.
Sorry for the pause. I am looking. Hey, where do you see yourselves and the business in 5 years?
I think starting this, I'm just going to say we haven't got a five-year plan. There isn't a five-year plan, strategy, or anything like that. A lot of the time, we probably go 1 year to 2 years max. And that just kind of has worked for us since day one, and it's continuing to work for us. But where do I see ourselves in 5 years is having multiple different business coaches and mentors inside the PTMA. So probably having, by that point, let's say 5, 6, but not just like, you know, like in other mentorships, they just seem to get someone in to, I don't know, cover a bit of feedback or something like that. We want coaches who have been in the industry for a while, have been successful and failed at certain stuff. I've got a lot of lived experience, but also specialize in specific areas as well. So it adds that a little bit of specialism into a specific area. So 4 or 5 different mentors who are going to then coach and mentor a volume of PTs. They're a bit like me and Nick do now, but they'll have their own share from the mentorship and the business coaching. So having probably 4 or 5 really well experienced and qualified in terms of lived experience, as well as, like I've just said, the fuck ups and the successes, and probably dominating that training provider market that Nick touched on previously, which is making sure that we're linked in. I think the important part of this is that what's important to us is that every coach and personal trainer coming into the industry, whether that's going into a commercial gym, moving online, or going into a private gym, has the best possible start or has some level of support and bridging from level 2, level 3 into the PT world, because we feel that's not there. And that's a gap that we would want to fill. We used to tick that box with Pure Gym. We don't do it as much now, even though we've got 3 training providers that we partner with at this moment in time. So progressively growing that out to be more than that. Never say never, but I don't think we'll ever tackle the level 2, level 3 world. But adding that bridging style mentorship for 3, 6, and 12 months post level 2 means a lot to us, because we feel that makes a difference to the industry. It's all right with a lot of mentorships going for people who are already doing 3, 4K a month and taking them to 5, 10 and all of that type of stuff. But that doesn't do it for us as much as probably that entry level, because I think that's where the difference is seen as though the attrition rate so high. And I think trying to do that and trying probably in underlined with Nick mentioned a minute ago with boundaries, like me personally, I don't work past 4, 4:30 every single day. Sometimes I'll go on for an hour at night, sometimes depending on the project work we've got on. And mainly because that's how I view a measure of success, to earn what I want and need to earn, but also have a fucking lot of time watching my kids grow up and do the things that Nick's just shared there at the start of the call, that video. That means more to me than anything else. So what growing the academy in that way but also not going too much into the boundaries. Sometimes it will happen, clearly. But the majority of time I'm picking my kids up, like today, I'm taking my lad over to Everton to watch him train. I'll come back. I might do an hour of work tonight from stuff that I've missed today because I've had 3 or 4 hours out and had tea and put the kids to bed and all of that type of stuff. So it's making sure that I never move them boundaries at all until the kids are teenagers. Well, one is, and they're fucking sick of me, and I might start working again at that time. Apart from that, that's where I see it going. I think the only other thing that I would add to that is that probably we would want to get into some more, and we're about to do that, specialized stuff in terms of communication, coaching, and stuff like that. So we will start offering more of that out. That's that. Next question. What is a hobby or very personal questions today, aren't they? What is a hobby or interest that you have that people would be surprised about?
I would say renovation of property is probably something that don't know whether people would be surprised about it. I don't know. Probably, maybe, maybe not. But yeah, that's probably a hobby and an interest that I have done pretty consistently since the last 4 years and plan to continue with. What about yours?
No. Mine's quite predictable, if I'm dead honest. Like, I live quite a simple life around the kids. So my hobby or an interest right now that's like is fully like coaching kids football. Like, that is a hobby and interest. I'm sure people won't be surprised about that, but yeah, I never thought, because when I left school, that was my main thing. When I was in year 11 at school, I coached the year 7 football team. And whilst all of the other lads were doing certain things after school and all of that, I was coaching. And I've always loved to do it. So I suppose it's not a surprise. And then when I left school, I was going to go down that route, and there was just no money in it. So to pick that up, however many years later, 20 years, 25, 30 years later, however long, is very surprising to me. I never thought that I would pick that back up again and enjoy it and immerse myself in it as much as I have. So it very much is a hobby and an interest right now that might not be surprising, but that's about as simple as my life is at the moment. It revolves around work, the kids, and football coaching. That's about it. Next one. I live in a poor area where people have
Oh,
very little
short
disposable
question.
income. How is it? Go on.
I'm just going to repeat it. I live in a poor area where people have very little disposable income. How would you overcome this to attract people who do have more financial flexibility, possibly from other areas if need be?
I think the person asking this question, you're an online coach, so I don't think that matters. So what that means is that the majority of your focus should be on specifically, probably not your area, if that is the generalized view of your area, or the facts of your area. So the beauty of online coaching is that you're not constrained to that one area, which is great. So that overcomes that. But and overcoming that means more organic content, potentially as you earn more money, more paid content, more paid ads and stuff like that to get in front of more people and a broader brought in broader areas and stuff like that in different places. So that's how you do that. Loads of organic content, loads of lead magnets, get people into your world to do email marketing, then start putting ads out, all of that. That is how you would then grow your online coaching business, not relying on the local people near you. But if you wanted to grow in your local area and they have very little disposable income, well, you've got to sometimes look at, I'd first of all check the facts on that. Like, I've stood on record before of the one of the gyms that I worked in at Fitness First, that then turned into a pure gym, was at one point the fourth highest most unemployed area within the UK. So people didn't have disposable income. But I still built a business there across two gyms. So, like, it very much depends, first of all, who you're marketing to and how you get in front of them and taking assumptions and barriers out of it. But again, to answer the question direct, you're probably matching your model to the demographic. And if that's the case, that might be a lower price point, but more of a group program where you're a little bit more hands off But it is a lower price point, and you're delivering, let's say 50% of it is quite set and structured, and or 60% and 40% is a little bit individualized, but essentially you match the price point to the demographic in the area. But what that will mean is you're working with a higher volume of people who a lot of the time are less likely to get results than if they're paying a little bit more or if they've got more attention on them. So yeah, I know I've given multiple different answers to that one question, but I think it's important too. So yeah, that's why we're taking into account probably price point, group program, intake style, but then accepting what comes with that. Is there anything else that I would add? No, because I'm mainly basing this off the person asking the question, and they're an online coach. If you were in a gym in that area, then I would be relentless with the general stuff of interacting with people, lead generating, building up value, and then working out a model or a service that would suit that demographic, which I've give you one example of. Anything you'd add to that?
Two things. One, when you're looking at when you said about checking the facts, definitely doing that. But also when you look at that type of data, they are looking at the average, and there are going to be pockets of people that are more financially well off or do have more disposable income, so forth and so forth. So what I would say also is that you're matching your content to attract those people. Now, that might mean that you need to understand people's interests, likes, dislikes, and that will naturally, instead of like, for example, instead of calling out, oh, if you're in this type of job or if you're in that, well, no, it's like the brands they use and have value in, it's the places they go. Things like that, I think, are really important to attract that type of person. But apart from that, no. Next.
There is no women's health or fitness community group within my area, and I want to create one. Is there any advice that you would give about creating one?
I think it's a great shout. The advice I would give is be specific for who it's for, and I know you do know your demographic. So I think calling out the local area, i.e. having that the name of your local area in the title of the group, having a picture of a local landmark also helps with people identify quick. I think filtering people into the group so you know them, i.e. on a Facebook group, you can put it maybe private, but it's searchable, so people can find it. And then when people ask to join, you can set it up so you can ask them some questions. So again, you're making sure the right people are coming in there, setting up a welcome message automation. But no, apart from that, no, I wouldn't say. Apart from the obvious kind of marketing and maybe even kicking off that group with some type of result that comes off the back of it. So you could use it for a challenge or a lead magnet, for example. So people have got a reason to join. But no, I think it's a great shout. And then I think it's done as much as it could be. Anything you'd add? SGPT clients logging their workouts, app or notebook? Question mark. I think I prefer the idea of handing them each a notebook for them to keep and fill out after each set, rather than a room full of people on their phones. Question mark.
I think if they're just coming to your sessions to train, then I don't think the notebook would be a bad shout. If they're needing support in regards to programming away from your sessions, I would say the app is more important. And that's how I'll decide it on. Like if they're just coming to you 3 sessions per week, cool. They can just access the program, update it there. Yeah, but if they're not, then personally, I would be more comfortable with them being able to have a program they can take to the gym and train on their own for whatever it is that they're doing. And then just access everything in one place. That's how I'd make that decision. What about you?
I'd agree in regards to the app if they're doing stuff away. I do think a notebook, but I think also like if you're working towards milestones, having it up in the actual gym works really well. But no, nothing really to add. No. Still
Well,
struggling with setting conversations, lead targets. I know this should come from previous campaigns, but guidelines for Instagram, Facebook, gym floor. Thanks.
it's your question then.
That's not.
It is. I
Oh,
just answered the last one.
yeah, sorry. It's a really hard thing to pluck numbers out of the air. Like, okay, so I think what you can go off a gym floor, I would be going off. It's an arbitrary answer I'm going to give. There's no meaning behind it. Is there? I could sit here and go, yeah. Okay, on a paid ad, you'd be on a lead magnet, which is free to get people on your email list. On a paid ad, you'd be looking at, let's say, 100 leads a month with a £5 daily budget. Organically, it completely depends. Like, it depends on your reach, it depends on your engagement level. Yeah, it completely depends. It's a hard one to answer. I can't answer it. New.
I think going off previous campaigns, you could probably look at it and go, what did I do and how can I do better if you want to do better? So I think using that, I don't think is a bad thing. I would always challenge yourself with more. And I know some people might go, yeah, but that's potentially setting yourself up for failure. Well, it depends, doesn't it? It depends very much on the mindset that you have and the accountability that you provide yourself. Like I've just had the reason why I smiled and started laughing when you said 100 is I've just had the same conversation with someone on a call where I've gone, you can do up to 100 of that quite easy across a gym email and social media. So yeah, kick yourself up the ass to do it. So I think if you look at it and go, could I have 5 to 10 conversations a week? Sorry, 5 to 10 conversations a day with people. Realistically, probably if you go with 5 and you're working 5 days a week, it's an easy 100 a month. So it depends how where you want to set the bar. Because I think 5 conversations a day, every working day, for most people, if you commit to that in your schedule, should be quite easy. Depends how much you want to push yourself.
And I think when you look at those previous numbers, it's actually a bit of the feedback I gave this person this morning. When you look at those previous numbers, it's then linking those numbers and looking and spending some real time digging into the content that did well, not just from a reach, but from an engagement, the stories that did well, the times that you did and didn't do the things you need to do on the gym floor. Like there's numbers, but then there's context to the numbers, isn't there? So really looking back and going, okay, right, well, I planned in 3 hours a week to get 15 conversations and 10 leads on my lead magnet, but actually that hour there I was never doing because I did 5 back to back or whatever. And exactly the same with social media. Like, right, I've looked back on your content. What did your content tell you that you were doing? Lots of information. Okay, how many times do you show up and show your personality? Not a lot. Right, how many of these? Do you know what I mean? You can ask yourself those questions, but you're not going to have those questions answered by just looking at numbers. Like the numbers are the outcome. You've got to look at the inputs as well and dig into it and spend some real time doing that. It's really important. Because otherwise, it is going to be like I could sit here and just make numbers up. But I think relatively easily, whether you're online or whether you're face to face and online or whether you're just face to face, 100 leads a month is more than doable, in my opinion. You get anything then? Could you write you up? Are you gonna add anything then?
No, my internet connection is unstable, so no, just carry on. Next question.
That's one ideal holiday destination and why?
This is like movie, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? This change is very much dependent on your mood, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I want to shoot some twat, my favorite movie is Man on Fire. Do you know what I mean?
That's
But
good.
if I'm in a different mood, it might be, I don't know, another movie that I can't think of. I don't know. I was gonna say something like Football Factory then, but that's still fighting in it, so I need to chill with that. Right. Ideal. I think right now, Jesus Christ, just getting away for 2 weeks and having a gym and sun and just being with the kids would be good. But I'll have to wait for that for a bit. My ideal holiday destination and why? Right. I'm going to go with, I'm torn between two, so I'm just going to give two. One's fresh in my head. My niece is currently on a, she's working on cruise ships, actually, Nick. And she's in Brazil. And yesterday she sent a video of her on a helicopter going round, what's that geezer called?
The statue.
Yeah, you know what I mean, yeah. So she was on a helicopter doing that, and I was like, and Brazil's always been, again, rooting back to football, like a really good place that I wanted to go. Football, when I used to do BJJ, and was like, yeah, that I want to go Brazil and just live in a favela for fucking weeks on fuck all. I genuinely, I play football with the kids on the beach. So that is, has always been a top one. And I think that second one that I was umming and ahhing about, I'd love to go and do like South Africa safari, something like that. They're the two ideal for probably very different reasons, but yeah, by yours.
I would say South Africa because I've never been. It's one place I've never been. The other place, I would say the other place would be actually like winter, like Switzerland, somewhere skiing, snowboarding.
You know, I've never been skiing, me. Never been skiing or snowboarding. So
Switzerland.
it's something that I'd love to get the kids into, but then, yeah, I just haven't. Yeah. Switzerland's supposed to be decent, isn't it?
Yeah.
My mate lived there for ages.
That's who you went to. Was that the one? No, that was the one in Sweden, wasn't
Yeah. I
it?
went from one piss up in Copenhagen with you to another piss up in Stockholm with him. That was a brutal few days. That was Jesus Christ. Was supposed to be working. Anyway, fucking hell.
That's it. All questions done.
Good that. Enjoyed that. Right. See you in a bit.
Bye.